So many times as a pastor, I think pastors want their congregation to go back over their sermon from last week to really think through it and live through it the next week. And that's kind of what happened to me this week. I got to go back through it last week. And one of the things God kind of laid on my heart and really impressed on me more than anything was, who does your faith really touch? You know, we studied in the passage where the faith of that man that was healed, where he was leaping and praising God, and it ended up 5,000 people that we talked about a while back that he reached. And so God kind of laid that on my heart, and I was just looking at some scriptures, and I come across one. It's in John chapter 4, so if you want to turn there. It doesn't seem to have near as big a response, and maybe that's why I liked it. So I didn't feel as guilty. You know, and I'm not reaching 5,000. And I thought, well, then I get to thinking about this passage, and it's kind of the same way. And so we are going to be in verse 46 through 54. So if you would read along with me. It says, "So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them what hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, 'Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you now and I lift up your word. Lord, we know that you promised to us it will not return unto you void, but will accomplish everything you set it out to do. Lord, help me not to get in the way of that. Lord, I'm not big enough to get in the way of that anyway. You can do in spite of me or through any of us what you want to do with your word. And we pray that that happens today. Lord, we know that you are going to take your word. We know that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that it would truly cut us where it needs to cut us. Lord, we lift this day to you. We lift this time to you. And we thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we pray that you would move among us, that we might honor you the way you deserve. In your name we pray. Amen. Here we have this, depending on your translation, he is referred to as a nobleman. He is referred to as a high official. And sometimes we think, because he was this high official, because he was this elected nobleman, that he was something very special. But I'm going to refer to him as a man, just the man. Because we need to understand that no matter what title any of us have, we are all human and we can all fall into where this man is at. Now, this man was not a bad man by any means. But look at where this man is at. It starts off, Jesus has made his way into Cana, which is about somewhere around 16 and a half miles from Capernaum. So this man is in Capernaum, and he's an official there, and he makes his way down to Cana. So he walks. I don't know how long it'd take you to walk 15 miles, but it would take me a while. But he walks down to Cana, and he gets there, and Jesus is there. But why did he go? Why did he go to Cana? Because he had a problem. His son was about to die. And I thought about this because this man has a serious problem. It wasn't like he had lost some sheep. It wasn't like he was having an issue at work. He had a serious, serious problem. And that problem was his son was about to die. And I wonder if his son was just sick, not about to die, but just sick, would he have traveled 16 miles? I wonder if it had just been he had lost finances because of work. Would he have traveled 16 miles? I wonder if it was just he was having trouble getting by. Because we're going to learn, he was a man of faith. And so he was just having trouble with people treating him different because he was a man of faith. Would he have traveled 16 miles? Now we know he did. But we know he did because he had a serious problem. Well, everyone in this room has a problem. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what my... I know what some of mine are. But we all have problems. And it seems like to me that we take the serious ones to God. We're willing to travel that 16 miles, per se. We're willing to really take those big problems to God. But those little ones, we tend to try to handle on our own. And when you start handling this little one on your own, and this little one on your own, and then both of these and another one on your own, before you know it, you've got some big problems. Because you're trying to handle everything on your own. This man was willing to take it to God. Like I said, we tend to ignore our problems until they get big. But in 1 Peter 5:7, it tells us to cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. That doesn't mean just the ones where, like this man's serious problem. It means any problem, any care that you have. Any care that you have. God loves you enough that He wants you to bring that to Him. Everyone in here has some kind of a care that bothers them or worries them or weighs them down. But we can get by. We're not going to be able to live a carefree life. I mean, this is Stockton in 2022. We're not going to live a carefree life. As much as we would like to. As much as we spend time on our knees, we would like to, but there are going to be things in our life that cause us issues. We try to get by with the small ones, but let me throw one out there that you've got, that I do know you have. I don't know what other issues you have, what other serious problems you have, what minor problems you have. I don't know. But I know there's one serious one that you have. One serious that I have. And that is the lost are dying and going to hell. And yes, that's your problem. It's my problem. Because we know that Jesus says that we're to do the will of the Father. And He sent Jesus to seek and to save the lost. And that's our responsibility now. If I was not here for that purpose, if God was just going to save me, if I was just going to accept Christ, give my heart to Jesus, then why didn't He just take me on to heaven right then? Because He had something for me to do here. Why didn't He just take you on to heaven when you accepted Christ? Man, there would have been so much less heartache. Every time I stumble and fall, I know I just see another drop of blood from Calvary covering me because I messed up. Why wouldn't He just take me on to heaven? Because He's got something for you and I to do. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Man, when you want to talk about some dim people, that's me. I shine like when I want to. It's like that night light in your bathroom that, I don't know where this come from, but it's like that, hey, I'm sorry. You know me by now. It's like that night light in your bathroom that when you come in there and it's, man, it seems so bright. And then when you've been in there a little bit, it's like, it's not so bright. And then you come in there of a morning and maybe there's a little bit of light coming through the window and that night light is gone. It doesn't need it. There's other light out there. And that's the way sometimes we want to do it. We want to be bright at the times that it's good. Hey, look at me. Nobody else is doing anything. Look at me. I'm shining the light. But there are other times when I just soon let somebody else's light shine. And I'll just shut myself off. The lost are looking for a light. Man, there's so much going on in our world. You can listen to the news. You can watch TV. You can look online. And you see everything that's going on. The evil in this world that's going on. And they're going to try to solve it in whatever human way they can. But there is only one answer, and that is Jesus Christ. And if they don't see Jesus Christ in us, they're not going to see Him. He says in Romans that man is without excuse because God has shown Himself through nature. Through His creation, He has shown Himself that He is real and He is God. But that's not enough for them. They see people that are Christians and that's not enough for them either. And so they just kind of set them aside or push them down. But until you and I see the fact that the lost are our problem, we will do nothing about it. We will do nothing about it until we see that that's our problem. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Is that problem worth traveling 16 miles for? And I'm just using that number. Because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, depending on what we see it as. But until you see that the lost and dying is a great problem, you will do nothing about it. I will do nothing about it as long as I can turn my light on whenever I want to. We have a great problem. I think everyone in here would admit that there is a great problem out there. It's just they don't want to admit that it's my problem. If it's not my problem, then why did He leave me here? If it's not your problem, why did He leave you here? We are the salt of the earth. We are to make a difference. So this man, he travels from Capernaum to Cana. Man, what a great opportunity this man had. He's got this serious problem and he hears that Jesus has come to Cana. Man, Jesus is just 16 miles away. Could you imagine if Jesus was in Jericho? Would you take your problem to Jericho? Would it be worth it? Yeah. We would take any health issues we had, we would take any kind of issues because we know that Jesus is the answer. He had an opportunity. He was told that Jesus was just 16.74 miles away. And man, your son is dying. You've got a serious problem and your answer is 16 miles away. You know what? Sometimes this feels more than 16 miles away. Sometimes this seems so much farther. He realized that his answer was there. And when he heard, he knew that Jesus was the answer. And so he went to Capernaum and he says that he asked Jesus to come down and heal his son. And he had a faith. He knew that Jesus could heal his son. Do you know that Jesus is the answer to your problem, whatever it is? We know He's the problem for the solver, for the lost, because He's already done that for us. But do you know that Jesus is the answer to your problem? This man heard that Jesus was there, and he traveled this distance. And he said, "Would you come with me and heal my son? He's at the point of death." Pretty simple question. "Man, Jesus, would you just come and heal my son? He's at the point of death." And this guy had faith. He knew that Jesus could heal his son. And this response that Jesus made, man, if I was that guy, I don't know how I would have responded. Because here he is, and he asked Jesus to heal his son, and Jesus turns around and says, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." "Man, I just traveled 16 miles to come ask you to come heal my son, and you're saying that I don't believe unless I see signs and wonders." This man's response was, "I'm here because I know you can heal my son." That's his thought. But Jesus was saying to him and to others, "You will not believe unless you see the signs. Unless you see a miracle, you're not going to believe in Jesus." That's what Jesus was saying to the people around there. I have a feeling that's probably what he would say to me a lot of times. "Steve, you want to see the miracles, and then when you do, you want to praise me, you want to acknowledge me, you want to tell everybody what I've done when you see my miracles. Why don't you praise me? Why don't you proclaim my power before you see the miracle?" One of my favorite movies is Facing the Giant. And they're trying to have a baby, and they finally just turn it over to God and says, "Will you love me even if? Will you love God even if you don't get what you want?" Think about that statement. Too many times we want God to prove He's real, to prove He's powerful for us to believe Him, for us to stand and be boldly proclaiming our faith in Jesus. We want to see what He can do. We want to show other people what He can do. "God, just show them." But He's saying, if you don't believe in me without seeing the miracle, then the miracle really isn't going to change anything. This man was right. He comes back with the response, "Sir, my kid's about to die. Jesus, my kid's about to die. This is not about me seeing a miracle. This is. I'm here because I know you can heal my son. It's not like if you heal my son, then I'll believe in you." That's where we're at. So many times we are at the point where we want God to prove Himself before we stand. And He says, "I want you to stand. And if I prove myself, I prove myself. If I don't, I'm still God." Too many times we want Him to prove Himself that He's God. You ever seen that bumper sticker that says, and this may not be exact, but "God said it, I believe it, that settles it"? God said it. Whether you believe it or not, that settles it. Whether you believe God is real or not, doesn't change a thing. He is still God. We cannot set our mind on, "I will believe God because I saw these miracles." This man took Jesus at His word, and he believed Him. Not because his son was healed, because he doesn't find that out till later. So we've got this man that has this great problem. Then he's got a great opportunity to go see Jesus, to take that problem to Jesus. And what does Jesus do but test his faith? Man, I thought that would be good enough that I walked 16.74 miles. That should show my faith. I walked this distance. God, I did this to show that I knew you could heal my son. And you and I are the same way. God, I got up on Sunday morning, I got dressed, and I pressed my shirt, and I did all this because I know you're God. And I'm showing my faith by how I'm trying to live. And what does he do? He tells the man, "Go, your son will live." Now, that's not what he asked for. That's not what he expected. He wanted his son to live, but he wanted Jesus to come with him. He wanted Jesus to come and heal his son. "Jesus, come with me and just lay your hands on him and heal my son." And Jesus said, "No, you just go. Your son's going to live." He believed and he took him at his word and he turned and he left and he started home. How many times do we feel like our faith is good enough? If your faith is not being tested, then you probably don't have faith. Because this man had faith. He traveled this distance. He asked Jesus to heal him. And because of that, Jesus tested his faith. Where are you at? Are you willing to take me at my word, or do you need to see miracles? Are you willing to take God at his word, or does he have to prove himself to you? That's where we're at. Our faith is going to be tested. His was tested. His answer was not what he expected. But man, I love this fourth one. He had a problem. He had an opportunity. He got tested. But man, look at the great results. He walks home. He's not even home yet. And people meet him and they tell him, "Your son, the fever's left him. He's getting better. He's recovering." These were people, they had no idea. They didn't know what Jesus had said. They knew he left. They knew he went because his son was dying. He probably told them, "I'm going to see Jesus." We don't know exactly for sure what he said to them. But we know that they were there with his son. And they know he's coming back. And so they went to find him and say that your son is well. And he says, "When?" He says, "At the seventh hour." And he knows at the seventh hour, that's exactly when Jesus said that your son will live. And so, these people that weren't even there when he believed and he turned around and he took Jesus at his word and he headed home. These people weren't even there and they saw the results of his faith. Think about that. The servants are back home watching the boy. He's gone to talk to Jesus. They know that. And all of a sudden, they see that the son has been healed. The fever's left him. And they come back and they meet him and he tells them, "What hour?" They realize when he went to Jesus, something happened. And now this boy's alive. This boy's going to live. They had no part of it. But they saw the results of this man's faith. Not only that, it says, and he himself believed. But didn't he already believe? It says he believed up here. It says he believed and went his way. Then down here it says, and he himself believed. And the fact up here, when he believed and he went away, that was when God tested his faith. But down here it says he believed. And what happened when he believed? He himself believed and all his household. What a result. Man, I went to Jesus with this serious problem. He took care of that problem, but on top of that, he opened the floodgates. My servants saw my faith. My whole household, and I kept writing down my family. But that's beyond that. It's not just family. It's anyone that was in his household. It says all that were in his household believed. I want to ask you a couple questions. Too many times we see the serious problem and we stop there because we don't see the end results. I want to see God move. I want to see people come to the altar. I want to see people give their life to Jesus Christ, but that's not up to me. He went with his problem to Jesus, and he wasn't saying, I'm going to go to Jesus with my problem. And God, heal my son, and then help my servants believe, and help the rest of my household believe, because I'm going to do this. No. He went because he had a serious problem. And then God opened the floodgates. But those two things in the middle have to happen too. We've all got the serious problem, and God will always give the results. Now, He may not give them the way you want, the way you expect, when you expect, but God will always answer. He may answer yes, He may answer no, He may answer not now, He may answer in a way that you never expect. But God is faithful to answer. It's just sometimes He may say no. But he had this problem, and we're going to get the results, but we also have to realize the opportunity. We have to see that Jesus isn't 16.74 miles away. He is so much closer. And I got to thinking about this with the second topic as opportunity, and I thought, you know, when I touch on this, I want to make sure that I show you how guilty I am. And probably how guilty you are. When do you realize opportunities? Hindsight is 20/20. It's generally when we've missed the opportunity. Oh, that would have been such a great opportunity. Oh, that would have. I had the opportunity the other day. How many times do we miss the opportunity? Because we don't see it as serious. We have to have the opportunity, but then we also have to understand that your faith and my faith is going to be tested. Do you have faith? And I'm not talking about just believing, because there were probably a lot of other people there that believed. But he believed and he went his way. He believed. Peter believed and he stepped out onto the water. When you believe, that's one thing, but when you believe and have faith, it takes action. Does your faith bring about action? That's what you've got to decide. So today, understand, you've got a problem. I don't know what it is, don't care. Not to be rude, but you need to understand your problem before I can ever do anything with it. You've got an opportunity today to take it to the feet of Jesus. And He's going to test your faith. Are you going to believe me even if I don't give you what you want? Are you going to believe me enough to stand up and go the way I tell you? That's your choice. But I can promise you on the Word of God that when you do what He's called you to do, blessings will rain down. They may not rain down in this lifetime. They may. It happens. But God is faithful to always bless His children who follow His Word. The choice is up to you. Do you see it as your problem? Are you going to take the opportunity? Do you have faith that can be tested? That's the only way you'll see the results. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before you. Lord, I know that I'm as guilty or more so than any person in this room. Lord, I pray you forgive me. Lord, I pray you open my eyes to see my problems and know that you're the only one that can answer them. Lord, I pray that you would move among us in such a mighty way. Lord, we praise you because of who you are, not because of everything you've done or will do, but just because of who you are. Lord, we love you and we praise you. May we live to honor you every day. In your name we pray. Amen.